Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
The Habs refuse to win? The real question is, how many games do the Flames have to win to surpass the Habs? Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 97, April 29th, 2021. Yeah, tonight is Battle of Alberta. I'm doing this right before the game, and I hate doing that, but sometimes you just don't have a choice. Otherwise, I'd be up so late at night. So, I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, from Flames Unfiltered. You can also check us out on the Inside Edge Hockey News, and yeah. So what are we talking about? Today we're talking about the Montreal Canadiens and how they can't win, how the Flames missed an opportunity to get 6 points from the Habs but got four. Do we still have a chance at the playoffs? Yes. Math does not look good, but for some reason the Habs can't win, so that helps us out. Oh, man. Are we getting our hopes up for nothing? God, I hope not. I don't know. I kind of have more hopes lately here than I normally do. Which, hell, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I guess it's good to be positive, right? You know, isn't it funny how in a condensed, shorter 56-game season, does it not seem like it's been going on forever and ever? Seems like a long time ago when this started, and it started in January. It's freaking weird to me. You know what? Enough of the small talk. Let's start talking Flames hockey. Big thanks goes out to our sponsors, shopnhl.com, Spark Hydrate, KT Tapes, Fanatics, Riders Eyewear, AccuScore, Hot Mic, Inside Edge Hockey News. They all help us put this weekly Flame show out on the radio, no, on the podcast network and video network now, because you can check us out on YouTube now too. On tonight's episode, let's talk and let's recap that 3-game set with the Montreal Canadiens. Then we'll discuss the future of Brad for a living. And then, as social media in the Flames world has gone crazy with speculation of who enters, who's not, why Sam Bennett's producing, you know what? I'll give my 2 cents on all that rumor and myths and talk a little bit about reality in Calgary and what really needs to change in Calgary. Then we'll discuss some various Flames news from the North. Is there a chance for the Flames to make the playoffs? We'll wrap with a great listener question and a short preview of this weekend's Battle of Alberta 2-game set, which starts tonight, Thursday night. This episode won't come out till Friday, so yeah, it'll be in between. You guys understand how that works. Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. I appreciate each and every one of you joining us every week to talk a little Flames hockey. All right, Flames fans, we are going to quickly recap the 3-game series with Montreal, and we don't need to talk a lot about it. I mean, you're a Flames fan. You watch the games, right? Let me tell you who scored and all that. You saw it. You watched it, yeah. 3 games last weekend. Huge games. It was kind of the Flames' chance to get right back in this, and I don't want to say we failed at it. It's weird because Friday night come out and win 4-2. And what I thought was a pretty good game for the Flames. Actually, a really good game. Saturday night, Flames win 5-2. There's a few shaky moments. All in all, hey, they did what they had to do. Biggest game ever Friday night, win. Biggest game ever Saturday night, win. Yeah. So Monday night, a chance to get 6 points and to pull within, is it going to be 2 or 4? I can't remember. Anyways, I think I erased it from my brain because the Flames lost 2-1 in what was really kind of an ugly, boring game, and one a game that in the third Like, I just never felt like we were going to be able to pop one in. I know that sounds crazy, because in the first and second, I thought we were. And then in the third, it just, just didn't come to fruition. We give away that 2 points. And Montreal with a four-game point swing there doesn't help the playoff chances. And I looked at some of the playoff prognosticators, and they had us down to like a 3% chance after that game of being able to pull this back. And I think our odds are a little higher than that now, a little higher. Yeah, I'm not overly confident, but you can say I'm a little confident, though. All right, Flames fans, let's talk about Brad Treliving. General manager for 7 years. The Flames, okay, let's talk history first. The Flames have won 55.2% of their games in the history of Calgary Flames. Under Brad Treliving, they've won 50.9% of their games. That is the fourth highest amongst general managers. Third highest. I don't even know if I want to like grade Treliving on this, but I've seen all over social media this week how people are calling for Treliving's head. A couple things to remind you of. I've always been pro Brad Treliving, so yeah, call me out on that. Have I loved all his moves? Hell no. But how many teams can say they're happy with every one of their general manager's moves? They're full of shit. One thing we have to remember, and I've been saying it all year, like, I'm tired of making the playoffs. I'm not tired of making the playoffs. I'm tired of not going on playoff runs. And just making the playoffs, to me, isn't good enough anymore. It's been since 89 that we won a cup, and that seems like a hell of a long time ago to me. So Brad Treliving, I don't agree with everything, but I'm a fan. And I would hate to see him be gone at the end of the year, and a lot of social media is calling for his head. And I don't necessarily agree with that. Let's kind of look at some of the things he's done. I feel like he's done good at cashing out some assets. He turned in Glenn Cross, which was a pending UFA. He got good return on him. Chris Russell and Yuri Hudler, he got good picks on. I love the Dougie Hamilton trade. Dougie Hamilton wasn't going to be the man in Calgary. He just wasn't. And he flipped that into Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin, which, to me, whether we're happy with this season or not, those two guys have been good. I see people criticizing just of recent the Adam Fox trade. There was no choice in that. Adam Fox wasn't going to play in Calgary. And I saw somebody post on there today, well, yeah, but we should have waited like the Oilers did with Pouliard, because look at him now. Yeah, you know, wishes are fine. But wishes aren't reality a lot of times. And in that one, I'm going to defend Treliving. Then I don't really know that he had a choice. As a matter of fact, I don't think he had a choice at all. I didn't mind going out and getting Mike Smith. Brian Elliott, I don't know what I thought of that initially. I wasn't upset about that initially. See, it's funny. All the critics on this all say at the time of the moves, oh, that's a good move, that's a good move, that's a good move. And then when it doesn't work out, they're like, wow, what was he doing? It was stupid. Well, guess what? We don't know up front how it's going to go, or it would be a lot, hell of a lot easier to be a general manager. It's a guessing game. And quite honestly, if you look at his track record, it hasn't been too damn bad. People bitch about the Neil Lucic trade. I still think we won that. I mean, yeah, Lucic hasn't been a superstar, but we knew that when we traded for him, because we gave him James Neal. And the only time James Neal plays good is against us, which I don't understand why the hell that is, but it's the truth. as far as, you know, trades that maybe didn't go so good, the Travis Hamonic, he gave up a first and 2 second round picks for. I love Travis Hamonic, but down the stretch there, things soured, and then he didn't play with us in the playoffs last year, which was a personal decision, and I'm not going to rip him for that. But that I don't think worked out. Some people say that the Michael Stone, where we gave a third and a conditional fifth pick, was bad, and I totally disagree. I like what Michael Stone's done. Buyouts. Flames have had to buy out five players under Treliving: Shane O'Brien, Mason Raymond, Lance Boma, Troy Brower, and Michael Stone. What they did with the Michael Stone, turning that into re-signing him at a cheaper rate, was smart. Cost him a little bit more money, but saved him some cap, so ended up being smart. Free agent signings. You know, you got Mark Strivantanov this year. Everybody bitched at Treliving and said he had to go out and make a big goalie move, and he got the biggest fish out there. Like, I don't know how that's bad. I don't mind that contract either. I think it's going to look good for more years than it looks bad. Tanev was a good, solid signing. He knew what he was getting there, and Tanev's been good this year so far. I know it's 1 year in. Treliving's been really good at re-signing players. He got Johnny Gaudreau re-signed at a pretty good discount. Sean Monahan at a fairly decent price. Michael Backlund at a fairly decent price. Hell, Mark Giordano at a fairly decent price. Matthew Tkachuk, when we re-signed him, everybody thought he was a genius. Don't forget. We've got Lindholm and Hanifin locked up on team-friendly deals. I mean, seriously, guys. Just think more about this. Drafting, I'm not a huge fan of our draft class. I don't like our prospect pool. 2015 draft with Rasmus Anderson, Andrew Mangiapane, and Oliver Shillington was good. 16 with Tkachuk and Dubé was good. They also got Adam Fox in that one, too. Since then, it's been a little bit but we're still waiting to see what happens with some of these guys like Connor Zary. It's all about expectations. And to me, the expectation in Calgary is to win a cup. But the reality is only one team a year wins a cup. And quite honestly, usually fan bases are only happy with maybe two or three GMs in a year. It's kind of a thankless job. How many times did we in Calgary look at our roster heading into a season and go, we're a cup contender? Are we dumb then for saying that? Because Treliving built that roster that we thought was a cup contender. Is it the GM's fault when his players underachieve drastically? I know some of you will flip the switch and say, well, the year we had all the points and won the West, they all overachieved. Yeah, well, maybe Treliving is in the middle there. I don't know. I think it's the GM's job to put the players in place, but they still have to perform. And I don't think in Calgary we can look in the mirror and say, all of our guys have given us everything and have performed up to their expectations or their worth. I don't think so. There's a lot of positive things that Brad Treliving has done. And if somehow this Flames team changes their fortune here, wins a few games, and sneaks into the playoffs, it'll be amazing how quick this fan base forgets that just 2 weeks earlier, they were all over Brad Treliving. You know, on a positive note, one thing Treliving's done is he's made moves. There is a lot of general managers that are too scared to make moves. Treliving goes out and gets us the number one goalie that we all wanted. He fires a coach when we demand it. He makes the Dougie Hamilton-ish trades. He's not afraid to make moves. And I got a feeling we're going to see some big ones this summer. Has Treliving been amazing? No. But I'd give him better than average, and I honestly would hate to see him go. I think bringing in Sutter, him working with his knowledge, there's a lot that can happen with this team still. We're not going into a full rebuild. This is going to be a tweak on the fly. And I think that's what it should be. And Brad Treliving, in my mind, is the guy to do it. All right, Flames fans. Now I'm going to go on my little rant. I tell you every week that I love Flames social media, that I love to interact on it. And I do, and I still do. But this week I got a little aggravated and I got a little pissed off with some of the stuff I saw on Twitter and some of the stuff I saw on Facebook. And some people call me negative when it comes to the Flames. And I am at times. I will admit it. It's because I have high expectations. And a low tolerance for bullshit. I guess call it what it is. But this week, all over social media, I saw, man, I think Matthew Tkachuk is injured. I'm sure he is. I've watched him play a lot, and I've been studying him play, and I think there's shoulder injuries, and I think there's arm injuries, and something's not right on Matthew Tkachuk, and it's not right, and that's what we're going to stick with. You know what? Matthew Tkachuk might be injured. And all those people saying that, you might be right. You might. But there's probably a better mathematical chance that you're wrong. Why in this market can we not hold people accountable? We hold certain people accountable. Sam Bennett, we held him accountable. We ripped on TJ Brody for everything. Whoever whipping boys every year. Milan Lucic has been there. Now half of the freaking fan base thinks he's the greatest thing ever. It's funny how people change so quickly. I think before we start saying and making excuses for players, we should wait to find out the truth. Because none of us know. And it's all speculation. Sam Bennett, he goes on over to Florida and puts up 3 goals, 6 points in 6 games, and says something in the media that everybody in Calgary should heed warning. I'm having the most fun I've had in my career. Because he's working hard, he's been given a job, and he's been allowed to work within that job without getting his frickin' role and job changed every third period. Will Sam Bennett continue this pace in Florida? Probably not. But could have we had a little bit more results? Had we been a little more understanding, patient, and opportunistic with Sam Bennett? And these Flames fans, I hear bashing Sam Bennett on social media, you know, wishing him ill will is embarrassing. We're not Canucks fans. We should be happy for Sam Bennett that he's getting the opportunity that he deserves and he's cashing in on it now. The reality is in Calgary, we can't make excuses for Johnny Gaudreau. We can't make excuses for Sean Monahan. We can't make excuses for Matthew Tkachuk anymore. We cannot accept excuses. We have to be better. How many winning organizations accept excuses? Excuses are for losers. And I'm tired of being losers in Calgary. We can't accept poor efforts from players anymore. They need to be held accountable. We need to hold every player to a standard. There's no free passes based on your last name or where you were picked in the draft or if we were worried about upsetting your feelings. This team needs an ass kicking. And I think Daryl Sutter's here to do that. And we're going to see come training camp next year who him and hopefully Brad Treliving think are the real heart and soul guys that's going to move this team to the next level, create a winning culture. Because our culture right now is not winning. The attitude is not an attitude of winners. We as Flames fans need to remember that excuses don't win Stanley Cups.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. Sadly today, The Flames announced that Byron J. Seaman passed away. He was one of the six community leaders and original owners in 1980 of the Calgary Flames. Our deepest sympathies go out to the Seaman family. NHL important dates for next season. The puck will drop October 12th in the regular season. That's a week later than normal. Training camps are set to open September 22nd. We pray we have fans in the building and no delays. Unfortunately, I don't believe that that's the way it'll be, but let's go with it. Hanifin's injury. Yes, Noah Hanifin suffered a shoulder injury on a hit from Jake Muzzin. It was a previous injury. Not Jake Muzzin. Did I say Jake Muzzin? It wasn't Jake Muzzin. Anyways, he suffered the injury and then re-injured it days later. And he's out for the season now. And it's going to require surgery. And we wish him the best. And we look forward to having Noah Hanifin back next year. Former Flames head coach Bob Hartley wins another championship. Yes, he now won a Stanley Cup, a Calder Cup, an NLA Cup, a Quebec Major Junior League Cup, and at last, finally, Gagarin Cup, as his team won the KHL title yesterday. Congratulations to former Flames coach Bob Hartley. On to end the division. This is the part of the show that has got me a little more excited than I anticipated. Because, yeah, it was doom and gloom last show. I didn't think the Flames had any prayer, any hope, and anything. But after watching Montreal continue to spit and sputter, I'm wondering if maybe, and now Vancouver looks like they just want to go home. Maybe there's a chance. Calgary down the stretch has two in Edmonton. Then it's a few-day break, and then they play Winnipeg, a few-day break. They play Ottawa at home, the few-day break. They play Vancouver at home, and they go on the road for two in Vancouver and end with Vancouver at home. Final four games against the Canucks, who don't really feel like playing anymore. Oh, I don't know if we get excited about this or not. I look at Montreal's schedule, and I'm like, they got back-to-back this weekend with Winnipeg and Ottawa at home, day off, and they got Toronto at home. None of those are walks in the parks. And they go on a back-to-backer, Ottawa-Toronto. Don't like back-to-backs on the road. Then they get a day off. They play another game in Toronto and end it with two in Edmonton, which will be trying to get into that lead in the division, we hope. Or kind of don't hope, but hope in the case that we want it to be tough battles for the Habs. Oof, it's tough to cheer for teams you hate some nights, right? Canadians currently sit at 51 points, Flames at 45. Flames play tonight against Edmonton. They win. They go to 47. That is four back with one game against Montreal to go in Calgary. Or I scratch that. We do not play Montreal again. I'm looking at Winnipeg's schedule. Holy crap. Tonight I feel like I've been drinking. Yeah. We're in reach. So let's talk about this. As of Thursday, the Flames' magic number is 11.5. The tragic number where we'd be done is 5.5. So, no matter what the Flames do, if Montreal wins more than four games, the Flames are done. So, Montreal has eight games to go. If they win four of them, Flames are done. So, let's break it down even further. If the Flames win three remaining games, Montreal would need to lose all eight of them. Flames do hold the tiebreaker. If the Flames win four remaining games, Montreal would need to lose all eight. If the Flames win five of their remaining eight games, Montreal would need to lose seven. If the Flames win six, Montreal would need to lose six. If the Flames win seven of eight, Montreal would need to lose five. If the Flames win all their eight games, Montreal would need to lose four. It is possible. Not likely. But boy, a win over Edmonton tonight might get everything churning a little bit more. On to the listener question. And it's a good one. And it is, what is your happiest moment of this flame season? And what is your saddest moment of this flame season? I thought about this one. I thought long and hard about this one today. And I came up with my happiest moment was the first period of game one versus Winnipeg, when the Flames jumped out to an early lead and were absolutely taking it to the Jets, something like I haven't seen in many years in Calgary. Now, they went on to lose that game in a shootout, but or in overtime, excuse me, on a Patrick Laine goal. Funny as that is. I thought that first period was a huge bright spot. I have a second one, too. I put the night Jeff Ward got fired. I'm a Daryl Sutter fan. I like what he'll bring to the team. Do I think he's the be-all, save-all? No. But I do know that we'll have an honest critique of our players and probably some changes. I also hated the line change shuffle, that dance we played every night with Jeff Ward. I hated it with a passion. Now, my low point, saddest point of the season was February 25th. A 6-1 loss to the Ottawa Senators. I know many of you remember it. It was the first night I knew that, like, this team's not a playoff team. And that hurt, because I really, really believed that this year that we were a playoff team. Riddick got pulled in that game, stopped 16 of 20 shots. Zagadulin had to come in. Ugh. That loss pushed the Flames record to 9-11-2 at that point, and it was not a good moment in the Flames season.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, this weekend we do it again, Flames fans. Two Battle of Alberta games Thursday night tonight. I know this will drop Friday, so you'll have to bear with me a little bit on that. Two Battle of Alberta's Thursday, and then Saturday night wrapping up another night of Hockey Night in Canada. Season series sets 5-3 in favor of the Oilers. Flames win first game 6-4. Oilers 2-1 in the second. Oilers 7-1 in the third. 3-2 in the fourth. Flames bounce back 4-3 in the fifth. Six games, 7-3 Oilers. Seventh game, 3-2 Oilers. Flames shut out the Oilers in the last game, 5-0. And then we wrap it up with the final two. Hopefully we get a Flames win tonight. Anytime we win the Battle of Alberta, it makes for a lot better day. It just makes for a lot better day. And you know what? With each win and each Habs loss, gets your brain thinking, doesn't it? Just gets it thinking a little bit. Is there really a possibility that the Flames could make the playoffs? I sure hope so. It'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? We're back next week. We'll update this desperate chase for that final playoff spot. We'll start diving into what might happen this summer if with moves. And I don't know. It's going to be an interesting summer. Thank you to all the listeners. We truly appreciate us. Help us out by following us on all social medias at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey News. Check out that website for numerous other great podcasts. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That helps move us up the charts. We appreciate every review we get. See you next week, Flames fans. Let's get four out in Edmonton. How does that sound? See you next week, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah! Baby! Play off! Yeah! Baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.